Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Today our guest is Ann Baxter Campbell. Tomorrow night, just as a heads up, Big Jim Williams will be with us. He will be headlining our simulcast of Helping Hands Press Thursday night party. It's a pretty loaded schedule. A lot of great stuff, a lot of new releases, and much more. Another contest, things like that. Let's get right into it with Ann. Ann Baxter Campbell, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Hope everybody out there is doing just as well or better.
Good. Now, you have your books run the gamut. I would say you're also someone who is a multi-genre author. You have some stories that are biblical romance, historical romance. You have Christmas stories, and you also have children's activity books, coloring books. Now, let's start off right now with the one that's pretty hot for you and has been a major seller for you over time. That was your first novel in the Truth Trilogy, The Romans Quest, which right now is a Kindle Unlimited deal. So if anyone is listening and you are an Amazon Kindle Unlimited customer, you can read this full-length novel for free. Or if you're not, it is on sale for 99 cents. So, Ann, can you tell us about The Romans Quest and what you have going on there? Because it's been very well reviewed, and folks really love it. It kicked off a great trilogy. So what can you tell us about The Romans Quest?
Well, it's been really nice knowing that people enjoyed the book that I enjoyed writing so much. It's kind of weird. I started this book, a good 30-some years ago, and then set it aside. I'm really glad it's picked up and that it finally got out and that it's doing so well. I just am very, very pleased. I'm hoping that people will go ahead and pick it up on Kindle, especially if you're on Kindle Prime. You get to read it for free. And you can also get hard copies, of course. I hesitate to recommend my own book, but frankly, I loved it. It's about a Roman stationed in Jericho in Israel during the time of Christ. And he's very attracted to this young woman who's a Jew. And she kind of thinks he's cute too. But her father doesn't. Her father wants her to marry this fisherman named James. And James is sort of in a quandary. He wants to follow Jesus, but he also wants to keep his hold on Miriam, who is more or less promised to him, although not betrothed yet. That is supposed to be up and coming. And Miriam's father does hope that that's going to happen soon because his wife is very sick. It's probably not going to be a happy ending. Poor Miriam. She loses her father and marries a guy she doesn't really feel that much for. She likes him. He's okay, but he's definitely not the centurion she has her eyes on. That her father, of course, won't approve. Oh, well. Such is life back in the century. You marry who your father and mother want you to marry. They're smarter than you are. They should be able to pick out a good husband for you. Miriam's unconvinced. So what's going to happen? How is God going to work this out? Very well, as he always does, of course.
So far on Amazon, this has 38 reviews. Well, the majority of them, it looks like 87% are 4- and 5-star reviews. Very nice, very nice. Pleasant read. I can't wait to get the next book in the series, a new take on several biblical stories. Enjoyed reading about the life, about their lives during the time of Christ. The characters were realistic. There was enough history of Jewish tradition and their feelings for the Romans as well as Romans portrayed as good and bad. I love the story. Ann Baxter Campbell astounds the readers in her book, The Romans Quest. The way this author paints with words brings the characters alive. Very nice reviews for your work.
One person said,
man, what a beautiful novel. Smooth read and easy to follow the story. Amazing. I want to read more books. I'd have to say that those are very glowing reviews for your work. How hard was it for you to get the history of it correct and for you to get the timeline set up? Was that something that took you quite a bit?
Well, yes and no. There was a lot of research, and I loved the research as much as I loved the writing. But I took it mostly from the book of Luke. Luke put a date in there for the beginning of the story of Jesus. And that's the date that I used to begin the series. Each of the series, the one about the centurion, the one about Marcus, and the one later, that it's all, or the truth never dies, it's all set 1, 2, 3 years, first year that Christ was in his ministry, the second year and the third year, when of course he was hung on the cross. Of the three, I think I like the third one best, the truth doesn't die. But it's still, each one of them was a joy to write and a joy to research.
Now, what is so special about the third one? Are there more car crashes, planes dropping out of the sky, things like that?
Oh, yeah, they dropped out of the sky all the time in the first century.
But do you have you infused more action in it, or is it just that you were bringing a lot of the storylines to a close?
It was both. But I guess because it had more of Jesus in there and the characters had developed themselves, because I really can't take credit for that, into really solid people that I admired. Marcus started off as being kind of a comedian, a lot more interested in having fun and partying than he did in being a good soldier. Julius, the main character in The Centurion, was kind of proud of himself, and he could see no reason why a Jewish father would object to him as being the husband of his daughter. It took some time, some study, and some dedication for him to change. The third book is more about, like I said, more about Jesus, and I just felt that the characters came alive. In their own lives, they came alive. They went from being kind of lackadaisical, I guess, to being and more interested in themselves, to actually being more self-sacrificing and more alive to God. That was important to me.
Nice. We're on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Our guest today is Ann Baxter Campbell. We're talking about the Romans Quest, which is Volume 1 of the Truth Trilogy. Ann, when you, a few questions come to mind, but you were talking about the faith aspect of the writing in your works. How is it, just one of the hallmarks, it seems like, of your writing. Folks really enjoy your heartwarming, faith-filled work. How do you know how far to go with infusing faith into your written word? How do you make it organic? How does that go for you?
Oh, I'm not sure. That's a good question, but I'm not sure I have a good answer. I don't think I do as much of the infusion as the characters do. They have a life of their own after a while. The people in the Bible and the people in the books need to interface. They need to be something that is believable. People who are believable. Characters who come alive or make or break a book. I can't seem to write a book without bringing faith into it, because God is so real. God is so good. I love the time I spend with Him. I love the time that I spend talking about Him with friends. It's all interwoven. I can't get away from God. Don't want to get away from God in either my writing or my life.
That's nice. We touched on a little bit earlier that you have written a children's activity book along with illustrator Jacqueline Click. Well, what can you tell us about that? Maybe and Tilly.
Well, Maybe and Tilly are kind of old arch enemies. And Tilly, she was a miniature, not rat terrier, what am I, toy fox terrier. She tended to chase things down and kill them. When the kittens first showed up on the scene, she thought these guys were new toys to play with. And the kittens knew that. It took some time. It took some effort. But finally, Tilly accepted them, and they accepted Tilly. It was a tough process for quite a while, but as in most times between dogs and cats in a new environment, they gradually come to like each other.
Well, what made you choose a dog and a cat for your story?
They were real characters. I mean, they were real. We had Tilly first, and then we decided, because my husband's old 21-year-old cat had passed, we decided we needed a couple of kittens. And so we went out and got these two little kittens and brought them home. And then I found a small kitten on our front porch all by himself. I thought maybe somebody had come by and left him for us because they heard we were looking for a kitten. So I took him in the house and showed him to the other two kittens, and he disappeared. He went under the dryer, behind the washer, anywhere where he could hide, and he didn't come out for about a month. That's in a previous story. Everybody needs a name. But in this one, we had to marry up the whole family. None of them were real enthused about that. It was just a joy to find that they would finally accept each other. Tilly had her own personality, as did each of the other kittens. Morris is kind of lackadaisical. I thought maybe he would be like, you know, the Morris on TV, that regal cat who was so sophisticated. But no, he was more like Garfield. Tended to be a little mischievous.
So you fed him lasagna?
Didn't try that, no. Molly was the shy one, the one who was more of a hunter than the other two. She liked to be outside. She loved to be outside. The other two, well, Morris went out reluctantly sometimes. Maybe, yeah, he's up for any adventure. So the three kittens made a family with Tilly, and it was fun. It was the characters came through in the pictures that Jackie has drawn. I was happy with all the effort she put into it and the love she put into it. She's really a great person and a good artist.
Now, how much of her illustrations did you have say in how she illustrated the characters, or was that something you knew going in, what her style was and how she would present it?
We met kind of by accident. So, no, I didn't know a whole lot about her abilities, although she did show me some of the pictures in her portfolio, of course. And I thought, you know, maybe it's God bringing us together. Let's try this. And so she's done a great job, and I've been really pleased with her. Hopefully we'll get another one out in a year or so. I'm hoping
Very nice.
Also to keep the thought of having a coloring book to go with the full-length book, you know, for the children's book.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, we're on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Our guest today is Ann Baxter Campbell. Now, if you are listening to Ann and you're on the archives, we will be on tomorrow night with the Thursday Night Party for Helping Hands Press. Ann's release talking about Once Upon Some Holidays. Can you talk to us going into the end of the show here? Once Upon Some Holidays, what you have in that? Now, you have a series called Once Upon, where each one of the stories revolves around a holiday during the year.
Right. I started this thing off without ever intending to do a series with it, but the story just kind of lends itself to one more story. The first one is about a spoiled young teenager who wants everything her way, of course, and doesn't want to do the things her folks want her to do, of course, and gets grounded, of course. It's been kind of a funny series in some ways and kind of heartrending in others. You see, nah, I don't want to give too much away. Let's just say that they go through a lot of the problems that in this entire series that a lot of people go through, a lot of young people go through, and a lot of older people go through too. It's not been a fluffy series. These are real people. Well, these are fictional real people who tend to go outside the bounds, who don't always do the right thing. And that includes the parents. Nobody always does the right thing. And these guys have their own share of troubles. Especially Jillian, who has a lot of heartache in her life. But she still comes out trusting God, knowing that God's the boss and that she's a servant. And she loves being that servant for God.
Nice. Hey, you have a very, very busy blog. You have in the course of your blogging week, usually you have a book review. You have your Monday morning devotional. You have your Saturday sermonette. Your blog is very rich, has a lot of good content on it. Now, can you tell folks where they can find you on social media so that they can follow you and get the stuff sent to their email?
Sure. I am on Facebook as Ann Baxter Campbell, author, or just Ann Baxter Campbell. One is my regular Facebook page. The other is my my author page, and I try to keep that kind of limited to the books that I've written and just little blurbs that will maybe keep people interested. I also have a website, AnnBaxterCampbell.com. I am on LinkedIn under Ann Baxter Campbell. I am on Pinterest, although not quite as active there. I am on Twitter, and that's Anne_B_ now I've forgotten the rest of it.
I think you can put Ann Baxter Campbell on the toolbar, and generally they'll find
it. Oh, yeah, you'd find it. You'd find it. It's pretty easy to find wherever I am because it's always the same, Ann Baxter Campbell. And that's Ann with an E, by the way.
Right. And you put that up on your – if anybody goes to your Amazon author page, they will find your blog there. They'll be able to click on your blog, and they'll get to see your titles and all that other fun stuff. So go to Amazon, put Ann Baxter Campbell into the toolbar, and go to our Amazon author page. And I'm sure you'll be able to find everything you're talking about. Because if you go to your blog from the Amazon author page, you should be able to connect with just about everything else.
Right.
Awesome. I want to thank you for being a guest today here on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Everybody's Ann Baxter Campbell. Thank you for being on so much. We really appreciate it. Our next broadcast will be Thursday evening on the 28th. We'll be simulcasting Helping Hands Press Facebook and Twitter party here on Blog Talk Radio. We're looking forward to it, and Ann will be part of that tomorrow evening as well. So, Ann, thanks a lot for being on today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, Chief.
Everybody have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.